Welcome to G Talk. G Talk is a podcast dedicated to helping you discover your purpose by helping you build intimate relationships and a lifestyle of thankfulness. Listen to us today as we discuss a new challenging topic aimed to encourage you and to challenge you, but most importantly, to build you up in your relationships with each other and with God. Stay tuned.
This is G Talk, and this is Adara and Terrence, and we are excited to continue our series on the five common myths about disciple making. Are you ready to step into this arena again?
Oh, I'm ready. I know you're ready with that preaching you did last time. So I know this week we're going to jump back into this, and hopefully we can get this piece done today. And I'm sure we will, but we just want to encourage folks that we are just, again, we're talking about how to live and being the church and living out this mandate of and having what we're calling a reformation mindset. There's a new reformation that God is doing to reform us, reform the church into his mind, into his image. And we really see that as something that he is taking on that will begin to live out the mandate of his calling individually, that it's no longer going to be about what the general public is saying. When I say general public, I mean the general church, you know, what's being preached from the, you know, and I'm not trying to put down, but I'm just saying that there's going to be a uniqueness on each and every person that's going to be able to follow the mandate of the Father, that we'll all know what God is calling us to do, and we'll begin to walk out our passion, and it will all orchestrate together where we can all serve and do things that God is calling, you know, the group to do. But it won't be so much about when we hear, you know, okay, we should all be doing this, we're all doing that. It's God has called us to uniquely live it out. So here we go. We are continuing to talk about this subject of, you know, what's discipleship in comparison to converts. And that's one of the mindsets that God is going to shift. He's reforming our minds so that we are not going after converts. We are not trying to make converts, but we are trying to make disciples. And did we break that down?
No, that'd be great for you to read that passage right here.
Yeah.
And I think that'd be a good way for us to kind of set the tone.
It is, because I really feel like sometimes the Great Commission, and this again, we are talking from what Matt Carter shared. He was part of the Verge Network. Again, go to vergenetwork.org. Mm-hmm. But Matt was teaching on this for church leaders, experiencing church leaders, and we're just spending some time. Because we felt like it really fit with the topic that we had been sharing. But let me just say this, because Jesus, you know, the Great Commission, Jesus spoke the words, as we shared last week from Matthew 28, about going into the world, making disciples of all men. We used to sing a song every Sunday. We used to get out. I used to love it when we sang this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, go, go, go." And we in baptizing, you know, and
we want to go home.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah, then it would be go. And I'd always just say, now go. And people, it was like, yeah, let's go and reach the nations. But here it says, let's see. The five common myths, and I'm trying to find. There was a section here, and I've lost it, but I think it's on this week. Jesus wants converts, so we're going to talk about it anyway. But it's this. It says that the most interesting thing about the Great Commission is that it does not command us to make converts of Christianity. Instead, we are to make disciples of Jesus. The difference between a convert making And a disciple making is crucial. Converts change religions. Disciples change masters. Converts follow a system. Disciples follow a person. Converts build Christendom. Disciples build the kingdom of God. Converts embrace rituals. Disciples embrace a way of life. Converts love the command to baptize them in the Great Commission, but that is it. Disciples baptize, but only in the context of teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Converts love conversions. Disciples love transformation. So that's the mindset that we're really, again, trying to capture so that we would live out the mindset of disciples. And that really is the issue. We've done for probably pretty faithfully over the last 100-150 years, maybe 100 years, we have made converts, right? We get numbers, we have a role, and then we have a list of people in the church who they're all on the roll. We don't really find out, you know, doesn't really matter if they're living it. It just matters that, you know, I mean, think about it. We all go to church on Sunday, right? We all show up, and we can show up in any church on any given Sunday, and we sit there and we're considered Christian. We've done nothing. We just show up. We just show up to church. We may only show up once a month. We only show up once every two months or 3 months or 6 months. Doesn't matter. But that's considered, boom, you're in.
Right.
And so that is a great big difference. Between, I love Francis Chan, how he puts it in his book, Letters to the Church, where he has this chapter on the gang, right? Now think about it, because we had numerous gang members in our church, as well as others that, like I said, we went to prison. And just think about them saying, if you were part of the gang, if you were a blood and you showed up once every 3 months, ain't happening.
Nope.
You ain't like, oh, I didn't do gang this weekend. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I didn't feel like doing gang, man. I had to do, you know, I had to take my kid to soccer. We missed gang. So we'll catch you next week, or we'll catch gang next month or whatever. Ah, man, I haven't seen you in 3 months. Oh, yeah, it's been really busy, man. I've been taking care of all. It's like, no, that is not the mindset of gangs.
Right.
And yet it is the mindset of church.
Right.
We can go, well, I didn't like the speaker this week. Well, pastor was away. He was on, he's vacationing this month. Or, you know, he was speaking at another church, and so, you know, we stayed home. Or I don't even like the music. I'm trying to find that right church that has it. Really? I mean, when you think of what we've turned church into, that we have to like the music, that we have to like who's singing, that we have to like the types of songs. It's like, I like that church. I get it all the time, and I know you do. I go to this church because I like the worship. Really? You don't like Jesus. You like the worship. It's nothing. You know what I'm saying? And I know people. It can sound like, oh, of course we love Jesus.
I think what we're doing is that we've become consumers.
We've become preach. Yes.
We've become consumers.
Yes.
It's no longer about loving the Lord your God with all your heart.
Right.
It's about loving myself.
Right. And that, I think, is the part that was driving me crazy as a pastor.
Right.
Because I was recognizing I have to find ways to talk you into showing up on Sunday.
Yes.
I have to somehow say something. I've got to give you a teaser. I've got to put something on the... I have to somehow convince you that you should be here next Sunday.
Right. It's like being on drugs. I mean, I'm just saying, it's kind of like, how do I need to shoot them up this week? How do I need to shoot up the congregation this week because they stayed home?
Right.
You know, well, I just didn't feel like coming. I just, you know, I have been there.
Yeah.
And I've been on the consumer side.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it feels like to be on the side, on both sides. Of really looking at, you know, am I being fed, you know, are they feeding me? Or if I didn't like the message, then I'll just leave.
Right.
Or if I didn't like that, you know, if my list is when I look for a church, they need to have a good children's ministry. The Lord knows I need to have my time,
right.
You know, and then we start validating. Well, you know, it's been a rough week. You do need to have your time without your kids. And but yet Jesus was talking about, don't you shove my kids away.
Right.
You know, there's that part where it's that we become consumer. Mm-hmm. And as being a consumer, I want you to please me. I want you to make the setting for me. And we've lost again. You know, Jesus talks about that when he does the letters in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
These were wonderful churches. Mm-hmm. Okay. But they had left their first love.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, you know, he goes through the churches and he's letting them know, look, this is not my design.
Mm. Yeah.
You all were on point. But at some point, you left the love of me and you became lovers of yourself,
mm.
or lovers of other things.
Yeah.
And so basically, then we begin to create our rules.
Yeah.
We begin to create, well, you don't have to go every week. You
right.
don't have to do this. You don't need to have fellowship with everybody all the time.
Right.
You know, it's okay for you to. And I'm not even trying to talk about rules. I'm just saying what we've done because we have become a consumer, and it's no longer about that we're coming to worship him mm-hmm. and being the audience of one. So basically this is what happens as you read the list, that now we've kind of created these myths of what it means to convert, or I should say, we need to convert people.
Right.
You know, so now it's about building, it's about numbers, it's
right.
about I need, you know, and the check mark. We're not even caring if they have a walk with God.
Yeah.
We want the conversion, but we don't want the responsibility that it takes to make sure they're growing in their walk with the Lord. Mm. I just want the numbers.
Right.
And then I want the pastor to take care of it, or I want the ministry team to take care of it. And I still always go back to when the disciples said, well, we don't have anything to eat. Yes, you do.
Mm.
He says, you give them something to eat, which I look at saying each and every one of us has something to give
mm-hmm.
to someone, but we hang on to these myths. And I think when you were sharing that, those myths are basically how we see converts versus disciples.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be a paradigm shift again
mm-hmm.
of what we've seen in the past, because generally the majority of us grew up with converts.
Right.
That's how we seen.
Right.
That's how we were taught.
Right. Right. They get saved and we all rejoice and we go home
mm-hmm.
and da da da. But we know that because we had many disciples, you know, people in our church, it was like, no, that was stage one. I mean, they halftime didn't have a place to go to. So we had to find them a place to stay, you know, help feed them. You know, we were bringing groceries and making sure that they were good that week. And, you know, the very first night is going to be tough because
yes.
many of them were drugs or dealing with whatever. And so it's kind of like, okay, no, we need to make sure that they're not going to fall back tonight, because we know the enemy's going to attack them immediately after they've gotten, you know, made that mm-hmm. commitment. And so it was always all those pieces that we were like constantly, you were worn out. I mean, it was right. a lot of work because you wanted
lot.
To make sure.
Mm-hmm. And you have people I hear, you know, and I believe their intentions are really good, of just that we do want to reach the lost. You know, we also need to understand, I mean, Jesus was with these disciples for 3 years.
Right.
And
right.
so
day and night.
Day and night.
Right.
And they had a lot of issues.
Yep, they did.
But I can say that once they knew, when they recognized, you know, when Jesus rose from the dead, they were all in.
Yeah.
They understood the commitment of what it was about being a follower of the Lord. I like one of the things that Matt said was, he says, are you making converts or are you making disciples? One way to answer this question is to evaluate your relationship with unbelievers.
Hmm.
What do you feel when you share the gospel with others and they blatantly reject it? If you are offended by them and their rejection, perhaps you're too interested in, quote, being right and in making a convert rather than a disciple.
Mm.
Jesus grew frustrated with the disbelief of others, but his frustration grew out of his love and compassion for others rather than his desire to merely, quote, be right and, quote, win a convert.
Mm. Amen. Yeah, I know that, you know, for we stopped I be careful how I say it, because I know people get, oh, you did, you know, but we even kind of changed even having altar calls that way, because we didn't want you to just come and say a prayer and you be done with it. When you kept coming, it was a sign that you were changing, mm-hmm. and you were becoming a part. You know, it was like, this transformation is not just, you know, like instantaneous. There's some, you know, we know the work of sanctification is a process, but it's kind of like sometimes we get in our mindset and we make it so simple to just say a bunch of words, and then we walk away with a celebration, but we've not taken the time to help bring that person through to understand what it is that they're really being brought into.
Right.
And I think that's the piece that is so important. That's more important than the prayer.
Right.
Is helping them get through.
To finish well.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yes.
To finish well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's our heart.
Yeah.
Is the difference between just counting a number, but I want to see them finish well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see if they fall.
Right.
I need to be there.
Right.
We need to be part of that. And I think that's where you find, am I one about converting, or am I one about discipling?
Yeah.
Because disciples are wanting to see that person finish the end. If I'm getting offended, you know, or if I'm losing my focus, then I've gone into conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you're looking at conversion, you're just seeing a number.
Right.
You're not seeing a life.
Right.
You're not seeing who died for them.
Right.
The same one that died for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when I see that, I can identify. You know, one of the things he said was a convert maker has their eyes on the goal of converting others well. Do you lose focus on your disciples after their conversion? If so, perhaps you are mostly interested in building your resume on converts.
Mm, yeah.
And I mean, this is about, and when we're sharing today, and I know we're really passionate, because I recognize that we're in a transition.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are lives. They're not numbers. And we probably all have done this before. I know I have. You know, you've led a person to the Lord, or you were really excited that you've seen this multitude, and then you're looking forward to the next week, you know, to more. And then there's others where, you know, like when you mentioned how we begin to see them coming,
mm-hmm.
and that process, because we're having community with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to, you'll have people show up every week,
mm-hmm.
but there is no relationship with the Lord. When you see somebody coming day in, you know, each week, and you see where they've grown from here,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden they're just in.
Right.
And I love that process, because a lot of times we don't like to invest mm-hmm. in the time.
Right.
We, you know, well, I've been telling him and I've been telling him. Discipleship, it's the learner. It's when I look at, you know, I never could rush the growth of our babies when they were growing.
Right.
I had to keep feeding them. They're going to be at different levels. They're in milk. You're wanting to see them progress, but a lot of times we I gave them steak.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be something that's going to happen to that child, that baby, if you're giving them something they're not ready for. But it's an investment. When I say investment, it's a commitment. It's being able to say, I'm in this all the way. And so when we are being driven by those myths, then we are not looking with the eyes of the Lord.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, absolutely right. So number four, let's get to mm-hmm. that one, because we're
okay.
pushing on time again here. When I am ready and able, I will start making disciples. This is the ultimate delay tactic. Have you ever told yourself that you aren't capable for some reason? You lack training, you lack experience, skills, you know, have you ever thought of someone who is making and multiplying disciples as super Christian? Have you ever said or prayed like this? Oh, we just ask you, God, to send out to the nations the best among us. Yes, Lord, send out our Marines, right? Then you're probably missing it, okay? The whole idea is that we are all in a position. You know, when you look at that Matthew 28 passage, he's not saying there are certain ones with the gift. There are certain ones with the ability. It's like all of us are in And he's given all of us unique abilities. And we're supposed to just use the gift that God has given us at the level that we're at to do, to just to make disciples. But there's you know, there is a work that's involved. We have to make a decision to put ourselves out there in a way that's going to give ourselves an opportunity to really share the gospel.
That's good.
And I just think that oftentimes we're waiting for something to happen when really God is just waiting for us to just be willing to get out and make some steps.
I like this quote as we move on to the next one. It says, to completely put off practicing the process of making disciples now in your life because you claim that you need more equipping or growth, therefore, is actually unbelief in God's promises. Is having the promise of Jesus' power and presence not good enough for you to get started in the process of making disciples?
Yes. Yeah.
So when we're looking at that, he has equipped us.
Mm-hmm.
He has given us authority.
Right.
And when I look at that, we've hindered as a church people from, they're not ready, you haven't been in long enough, you need to go to Bible college, you know, or we'll use excuses ourselves. I'm just not ready.
Right.
You know, right. So we have to evaluate our heart. I'm going back to, I will keep going back to Matthew 22. Is it about me loving the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind?
Right.
And am I able to recognize that this Father who I'm his daughter, that he has equipped me with everything that I need from heaven to earth to share his word. He has equipped me. Am I lacking confidence in that? If I'm lacking confidence, I go back and deal with my unbelief here, Lord.
Right.
Because my focal point isn't about, I shouldn't be making excuses of not wanting to see somebody not know Jesus.
Right, right.
If I'm making excuses, and if I'm going to a church that's giving me a cushion to make excuses, that's not the word.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what's happened is, and, you know, I want to be careful that it does come off that I'm, you know, certainly laying this because I know this isn't all the way around. But in a great deal, I think that there is such a fear to offend people in church that we just don't say those things. We don't ever get to the place where we're telling people their responsibility. You know what I'm saying? It's like the idea that you have a responsibility to go out and share the gospel. The command. That's right.
It's a command.
It's a command. I've not heard that command. I've not heard anyone stand up and look people in the eye and say, if you're not doing something, you're not a follower. You're not obeying. It's like, you know, there's people with that gift and we bring the evangelists up and they preach and say what they've done and we all stand up and celebrate it. But there's never like, no, that's all of us. It's all of our responsibility to do this, that Jesus commands us all to step out. I mean, how many times have we been told, well, that's not my calling? Well, if you're a Christian, I don't know what to tell you. Matthew 28, we keep saying it.
It tells us that's who we are.
That's who we are. And it's in every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right.
There is this same command. So it's not just, we're just quoting Matthew 28, but it's in every one that Jesus says, hey, you know, go and do this. This is his command to the body, to each one of us. And so, is that it?
There's the fifth one.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I can't find it.
Oh, okay. Well, it's the last one is really just talking about making disciples is great advice. You know, the idea is that, yeah, it's not a command. It's a great idea. And it's like, no, the Great Commission is a commandment. I think you had just said it, you know, so it's not like a great idea. It's not like, yeah, you know, you could do this or you could do that. And that's what we're saying is that in a lot of what we're hearing today is that it's your choice. It's not like it's a big deal. It's not like, you know, on the list of things to do, and I know I can get some words back, but I can tell you something we're going to hear every year at least once. We're going to get a hardcore message on tithing, right? We're going to get where you can't find that in the New Testament, yet you can find this over and over again, and I've heard no messages on it. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be tithing. I'm just saying that we're not in balance, mm-hmm. that we can spend the much time that we spend teaching tithing, but we spend no time on our call to win and disciple the nations is a problem.
Like, you're so right, because what we have found is that as our nation has become more prosperous,
mm-hmm.
that we are now cushioning the church.
Mm-hmm.
We're telling us that what things aren't necessary, or we begin to want to help people say what Jesus really meant. No, he said what he meant.
He said what he meant.
And so we, now that we are growing and we're a prosperous nation, that we don't want to offend the church,
mm-hmm.
because we've built a lot of it on giving, not on recognizing the commands of God.
Yeah.
There are commands.
Yeah.
It's not optional.
Yeah.
And I think when we hear the word command, we sometimes our flesh wants to, who's telling me what to do?
Mm.
And we know that when we gave our lives to him, it's no longer my life.
Mm.
When I made the commitment to the Lord, it was, now what is it that you're saying I am, who I need to be? What is my guide, God being here on earth? What are you wanting of me to be and do?
Mm.
And the command, we look at that, and when he says, I command you to,
mm-hmm.
and when he's saying it, we're looking at it like, he commanded me.
Mm.
When I became a follower of Christ, this is part of being a follower of Christ.
Right.
And if I, and you have that choice. I talked to my grandson about this. You're not being forced to accept the Lord.
Right.
But if you are saying, I want to become a follower of Christ, then we follow his ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sugarcoated. He didn't sugarcoat it. He said it. If I'm having, if I'm warring inside because this flesh is having a problem because I've always done it this way, and now I'm discovering through reading his word, this is how it was designed. I always go back to when Jesus would have these conversations and he would say, you have heard them say,
mm-hmm.
I say.
Right.
And so I glean on what he says, and now I begin to examine me.
Right.
So this is about, it's not, we know what we've seen in the church. Now, let's look at what his word is saying.
Mm.
You know, if I'm fighting it and resisting it, that's the first clue that I'm offended, that there's something going on inside of me. And I can turn as Mary would do, and I'm going to sit at your feet. And I want, because I don't want this in my life. I want to be able to, if your command says to go, then I go.
Mm.
There's no, I don't put perimeters on what go means.
Mm.
Go means go.
Right.
And so I want to be able to not have to say, well, what he's really saying, what he said is to go.
Right.
And I want to accept the word
right.
in what he says. And then as I begin to go, he begins to guide.
Mm.
And I believe when we see that, and let's look at these myths and saying, have I believed in one of those? Have that's been the way that I've been walking in my life? If so, all right, God, you know, confession is good. We've made confession bad. Confession is for me,
mm-hmm.
because I can confess those things to him where I'm at. This is how I believe that, God. I really didn't, you know, really deep down inside, I want it to be convenient, God. I want to do it my own way, God. And I'm coming to you right now with myself, and I'm surrendering this to you. This ways of thinking, this way that I can no longer blame the church, because once I come into the knowledge of it, I'm now held responsible for it.
Right.
So I'm saying, I'm confessing this to you because I want to see people know Jesus.
Right.
That's the bottom line. It's not about me.
Right.
It's not about building my kingdom. I want to be committed to whoever he's giving me to be. And I don't care what anybody says or saying, well, you need to be doing this. I'm doing what the Father has asked me to do. And that's the bottom line.
Yep, that's it. Well, that ends it. Have a great week. We love you.
G G-Talk is a ministry of Hope for You International, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find us on the web at thankfultoday.com and gtalk.info. You can also find us on Facebook at The Thankful Today.